This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hi, friends. Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. I am so excited to be here today with Pastor Bob from Burke Community Church, who is the pastor of marriage and counseling here at Burke Community Church, which is the church that I attend in Northern Virginia, just outside of DC. And we have had such a beautiful conversation pregame of this podcast episode. And I'm so excited to finally get behind the microphone and have a great conversation with him for all of you to hear. Cannot wait to hear what God has done in his life and the way that the Lord has just been working. And I hope that as you listen, you're going to hear more about who God is, how he works on this earth, and just the way that he is involved in our day-to-day lives. So Pastor Bob, thank you so much for being here for this conversation.
Thank you for having me here, Jessica. It's great to be here with you.
So I would love to know about your background. Tell me about where you're from, what your background was, maybe growing up. And then if you'll tell me how you ended up coming into your own faith journey with Jesus.
Oh, sure. Thank you so much. And thanks again for hosting this podcast and for how you encourage so many women and so many people across the nation and across the world, as I've heard.
I know. The podcast is being listened to in 22 countries.
Yeah.
Now, some of those countries just have one person, but it counts. It counts. 22 countries. Can you believe it? That's amazing.
It is amazing. It's wonderful work that God's doing through you. So thank you so much for that.
He is so good. Well, I just want people to be encouraged. So hopefully they will find him by listening to these conversations.
That's great.
All right, tell me about yourself.
Well, that's one of the big things about me. You said you want people to be encouraged. Really, that's one of the big things that I resonate with.
Okay.
I really do want to be an encouragement for folks in their lives and in their walks with Christ and just for healthy life altogether. You know, my journey started in Dallas, Texas. I grew up in a small town just south of Dallas, called Lancaster, and it's a town where everybody knows everybody, kind of a place. I was really blessed growing up. My mom was in her second marriage there. We moved to that little town, and I had two younger brothers, or three boys. And we grew up in a town where my stepdad, he took us in the family, and I grew up calling him my dad, and he was, that family owned the Ford dealership in the little town we grew up in. So everybody kind of knew their last name was Edwards. Everybody kind of knew who the Edwards were. So we walked into this town, and I grew up as a little Bobby in that family, and always felt valuable. I always felt kind of seen and important. Mm-hmm. My mom loved us dearly. She became a Christian in her second marriage. Mm. And so with my stepdad, and he never really made that path, but my mom was the one that took us to church. So there was a tension in the house between what does it mean to be a Christian or not? What does a man look like? So my dad wasn't, who loved us greatly, which was a wonderful gift. He really loved me and my brothers and cared for us deeply, but he was not really a healthy person. He was a Vietnam veteran and had a lot of struggles in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, which caused a lot of struggles in the marriage that I saw my mom in. When she found the Lord, her life really changed. And so then she started bringing us to church. And we were the typical kids that would be fighting with mom in the car, fighting at home. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to do this and all that. And then by the time you get into the church, everybody puts their happy smile on. But I remember she would do Bible studies with us. And so by the time I was 8, I had accepted the Lord, and we were baptized in a wonderful local church. It was much like Burke here, a non-denominational, just Bible church in southern Dallas. And it was led by a Dallas Theological Seminary pastor, and our youth director was, I was, you know, raised in that church and became involved in the high school ministry. You know, our youth pastor was a Dallas student, and so I grew up seeing the seminary from afar and kind of admiring what that was and had an early itch, even in my younger days, as far as maybe looking towards ministry at some point in my life.
I have a couple of questions.
Yeah.
All right. How old were you when your mom became a Christian?
I was probably 6 or 7.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And do you remember that?
Because I was younger, I don't think I remember like the pre-Christian, like what life was like. What I remember is she became a Christian and church was very important and Christ was very important. Like the relationship with the Lord was important to her.
Right. So as a kid, your perspective was, now we're doing these things. Like now we're going to church. Now she's talking to us about God and Jesus and the Bible.
Right.
Now she's doing Bible studies. And so your recollection is more of kind of how it ended up impacting your family dynamic and those kinds of things. And then you said that around the age of 8, you became a Christian.
Right.
Is that a memory that you recall, or is that again, kind of part of what you just generally speaking, remember about your life?
No, I recall that one specifically. Like, I don't remember the exact date, but I was 8 because we had a little Bible study, kids' Bible study, little pamphlet books that my mom would
at
do
home.
Studies with
uh-huh.
us at home. And so it was in one of those that they presented the gospel message.
Oh.
And we had been around church, I guess, by that time enough that, you know, who was Jesus and why did he come? That made sense to me by then. And so I remember praying with my mom on her bed during one of those Bible studies. Yeah. So that was really that's a special memory. Baptism is another kind of moment like that for me.
Okay.
In my role here at Burke, I do a lot of the baptisms.
Yeah, I've observed.
And I love doing that because it's such a special, precious time in people's lives when they are actually symbolically showing the gospel in the way we do baptisms by submerging them in the water and bringing them out,
you know,
identifying with Christ in his death and burial, and you're being raised and identified with him in the newness of life. And it's just a representation of what the gospel is for our
lives.
But it's a special moment in time that people can go back to.
Mm.
And so you create a memory when you know, like at a time in your life, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you have this belief in the Lord and you've placed trust in him.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing, and in baptism, you're doing it publicly.
Mm-hmm.
It's done as a sacrament of the church, as an ordinance, as something publicly that the church is involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And so for somebody being baptized, that's a really powerful moment.
Right.
And if we can capture that and remember it, just like, here's when I remember praying with my mom on the bed, or here's when I remember the pastor baptizing me and the people at church were looking at me, you know, like that's an impression that you can carry in life.
That's right. Even when you're in your darkest moments, you reflect back and you're like, man, sometimes you can say, I don't feel like God is with me right now or something, but you look back and go, but I remember that moment and I know that he is real. I'm just not feeling it emotionally in this moment, I guess. So do you remember your baptism?
I do.
Okay. Tell me about that.
It was at that little church I was telling you about. And we had one of those baptisms that was up behind the pulpit. And so I just remember
in the pool?
It was like a pool, but it was, I don't know. It was behind the pulpit where you had to climb upstairs and go behind everybody. And then you sort of emerge at the top of the stage. And you know, and it can see in the
before,
water,
right.
You know, you can see people's feet or not their feet really, but their legs and everything. And we were wearing white robes. And I remember it was one of the first interactions with like the pastor,
the
big guy.
Yeah.
And so maybe, and so I remember that too as well.
So I assume that was around you were also a child at that time. You were 8 or 9 years old.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so that became an impression on me also. So those two memories, those did carry with me throughout my life where, like you mentioned, there's times for everyone when you think, you know, oh my goodness, you know, does God really still see me? Is he really there? Or if I did this kind of, you know, mistake, am I still really a Christian or not? And you can go back to those moments and say, yes, of course, you know, because it's not based on what my performance and what I did. It's God's love for us and acceptance for us. And so
that's awesome.
It's a nice place to be able to go back to when you don't, like you said, like you don't feel it, but you know
it's true.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So then fast forwarding back to what you said, it sounds like that just as you grew up in this household and in the faith, there were these promptings within you, like I wonder the Dallas Theological Seminary, you know, and just kind of curiosity about mm-hmm. these things. Like, I wonder if one day maybe I'll do something like that, yeah, you know, yeah. But what else do you want to tell us about your journey from at that point?
Sure. So I was kind of the nice guy, got along with everybody and as I was growing up as a kid. And in Lancaster, the way they did junior high was 6th to 8th grade was the cut. And then mm-hmm. 9th grade and up, of course, was high school. And so we were in the middle of my 8th grade year, and I was a popular kid, a lot of friends, involved in a lot of activities. And God was part of that, but, you know, it was kind of what Mom taught us to do. It was kind mm-hmm. of not necessarily really, really personal.
Mm-hmm.
But he was there, but I also had friends and sports and was getting lots of affirmation from outside of
mm-hmm,
the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, I mentioned my stepdad, he had a pretty troubled, life, a lot of alcohol, a lot of really unhealthy behaviors. And so my mom and dad, and when I say dad, I'm talking about my stepdad.
Right.
We moved my 8th grade year from Dallas down to South Padre Island, Texas. They were trying to reset.
Okay.
And South Padre, it's down in the valley, they call it. It's down the very tip of southern Texas. And my mom and biological dad, they grew up in Brownsville, Texas, which is right there at the bottom of Texas on the border with Matamoros. And so we grew up in this kind of Tex-Mex culture of always visiting down there and mm-hmm. enjoying summers. And so we decided to move to the beach, which is, if you've ever been to Texas or South Padre, it's one of the most beautiful places.
I have been there.
So,
yes.
Yeah. So we moved in the 8th grade when I was sort of like on, it was the middle of the year. I was sort of on top of the world with all my friends in school and everything. And
yeah.
Big man on campus with 8th grade, your last year in school. And I went from that down to South Padre. And the first day I was in school down there, this kid in our shop class cut me with a knife. You know, I was a new kid.
Oh,
they were trying
no.
to, trying to like, intimidate, I guess. I don't know. It was a really isolating experience.
Mm.
And so I went and that was a really time in life where all of a sudden I didn't have the external sort of support of friendships and
mm-hmm.
and maybe even in a sense the distraction that offered me from where was I with my relationship with the Lord. But what I learned even back in those days was, wow, you know, I used to pray to God when I was in Dallas, and what do you know, he's still here present with me in South Padre Island. You know, he's still here on the beautiful beach, he's still here when I'm not the popular kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that really transformed my relationship with the Lord. I mean, I started reading the Bible every day and Proverbs mm-hmm. and Psalms and all through the Gospels, and I just really became a personal relationship with him at that point.
How
it became
interesting.
Yeah, like it's kind of, and it's like when you spend more time with a friend, you
right.
and how do you get to know somebody? Those mm-hmm. are the kind of things that I started doing.
Yeah.
But, you know, not because my mom told me and was telling the kids to get to church. It was
right.
like, no, he provided, and then, you know, he really gave me a sense of security, like within myself.
Right.
Of, it's okay. Like, I love you. You are a valuable person. You're worthy. You know, you actually don't need to be a popular kid, you just need to know that God loves you and you're okay.
Yeah.
And life is going to be fine. And it was. And it was a beautiful experience, like having this connection with him that became my own.
Right.
Much more than just because my mom kind of led us in that direction.
Right.
And so that was transformative. By the time we started our back in our high school years, that that trip down to South Padre didn't last long. My dad had a hard time fitting in with the culture down there and the
uh-huh.
kind of jobs. And so he moved back a little early. We stayed until the end of the summer, and then we moved back to our town. And I went to Christian school. Instead of going back, which was kind of a big decision, I went to a Christian school for a year, and then I went back to high school with all my old buddies and finished out there. But I got very involved with the youth group and at our church, and started becoming, you know, I play guitar around here. You see me on stage every once in a while doing that. But that music and has always been special to me. So I became kind of one of the student leaders, I guess, in high school. And I think that's when God kind of started talking to me about, would this be something that I would ever do longer term, like in ministry? I found it, I enjoyed encouraging others, like as they were growing in their faith and learning and kind of struggling with what I struggled with in eighth grade, trying to figure out, you know, how can I be settled in this world when things around you sometimes aren't feeling very settled?
Right.
Where does the peace come from?
Yeah.
And so that really made a transformative time in my life that I sort of wanted to give back.
I feel like when you went to South Padre, it was almost like your own personal retreat to find God.
Yeah.
You know, he was in your life, but it seems like you had your identity was not rooted in him until you were there where all the other things had been stripped away and you really found that personal relationship with him. And whenever he had you ready, then you came back and you kind of, and at that point you knew who you were, you knew who your identity was in him. And that gave you the confidence to be that student leader and to lead, you know, probably worship and do other things in the, in the youth program, and to understand that your identity was in him and not whatever other people were telling you was your identity. For people who are in pastoral ministry or in ministry leadership capacities, I love hearing that origin story, because I just think of how God knew that you were going to be doing what you're doing right now when you didn't know. And he was cultivating these things in your life in order to prepare you for something that he had planned for you. And so I just love seeing that. And that's not only for people in pastoral leadership, that's for every single one of us. You know, I mean, he is with us. He is cultivating experiences and guiding our lives in such intricate ways in order to be able to do his work in our life. And it's just such a privilege to be a part of that journey, almost unbeknownst to us, right? That he's doing this, and he intends on using it for his glory, for your good, and for the people around you. So that's really that I really love that snapshot that you've just shared there of your childhood and how he worked. So tell us, what have you learned about God and relationship with God that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So I've learned that he, like scripture tells us, he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And he's always faithful, and he's here with us. One of my favorite scriptures is Psalms 139. And I read it often and just reflect about how God has created us with such intimate detail, and he's just so knowledgeable about who we are as people. He's fearfully and wonderfully made us. Wonderful are his works. And it talks about in there how he just goes before us and behind us, and he hems us in. It's kind of, he is here with us no matter what. You know, whether I was in Dallas or in South Padre, he was still the same God and fully available to me. And no matter where I was or what I was doing. And that has kind of carried with me, sort of shorten my story from like high school through where, how do we get here today? And I had a journey through college. I ran out of money, you know?
Okay.
And so I joined the Army, and it was something I was interested in remotely, but didn't know a lot about. But I mean, I had a wonderful, for all those bad recruiters that get bad names out there, I had a wonderful recruiter that shared with me how to finish college out and become an officer at the same time, and get enough money to get through college. And then I joined the Army, and you know, I was doing, I wasn't a chaplain. I was doing, I know we have Michael on staff here, and he's wonderful. We never ran into each other on, and on duties. And, but he's a wonderful friend and a mentor of mine here. And
Yeah, so if you want to listen to Pastor Michael Coffey's episode, he was just out a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. so you can check out his episode as well. But
I will definitely be listening to his.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have similar experiences, I suppose, but and we really resonate a lot with how we value and see life. But my experience with the military after I joined, which I really loved, I was a military intel guy who some folks laugh at. There's no such thing as intelligence in the military, but it was a wonderful experience and a career, and I had a lot of fun. But one of the things I learned there between leaving Texas, which I never went back after I joined up, I had a 20-year career where I was in different states and overseas quite a bit. Almost half my career was spent overseas, whether it was Korea or somewhere in the Pacific or on a deployment. And so I feel all of those places, God was the same. Mm. That's why he taught me over life. I could be in Iraq in the middle of my hooch and pray to the Lord, who was just as close to me there as he was in Dallas or in South Padre or when I was in college in Houston. Like, he is the same God there. He was the same God in Afghanistan or Haiti or Hawaii or Korea, all these other places. And how faithful his presence was in our life. And so that has been something that it resonates. Those memories that we even talk about, mm-hmm. of how did you come to know the Lord, and I prayed with my mom on the bed,
mm-hmm.
and that's the same God that I prayed to when I was in danger in a strange part of the world that I wasn't familiar with,
right?
Or when I felt lonely, when I wasn't living with my family because I was apart from them when I was in the military at times.
Yeah.
But the Lord was always there, and that's a great comfort. And in the world, in the life, we kind of seek this tension we started with of, am I loved and, fully accepted? Am I safe? Can I trust the love that I feel? And the people around me. And what we learned is we can trust the Lord and we can rely on that and just rest in that. And
incredible. I completely identify with what you're saying, because I've definitely not been in the military. Although a lot of times when people meet my family, they say, are you in the military? And I say, not the U.S. military, but in God's military, because he has deployed us on a handful of occasions to places that we didn't want to go, but we ended up going to them. And but I have the same experience. And in fact, I think we were saying earlier about the fact the podcast now has people all over the world listening, even if it's just one person in one country. And it's crazy because at this point in time, it's 22 countries. And do you know that if I were to map out the countries that I've been to on Earth, it's 22 countries.
Wow.
And
that's kind of neat.
It is neat. Now, I don't think the podcast reaches the same countries, because I know, for example, there are listeners in Japan and China, but I've never been to Japan and China. But it's not the same countries, but I just think it's kind of neat that it's the same number of countries I've been to. And I've had the same experience that you're talking about. When I was younger in my faith and left the country, I came back with a little bit of a faith-like crisis, where I'm like, gosh, now I see this. I had this like reverse culture shock where I'm understanding my reality in light of the way that other people are living in another country and what their culture is like and what their language is, and just reflecting on my own life. Is what I believe the right way? Is it the right truth? And that happened when I was young in my faith and left the country and kind of came back just questioning the truth that you're actually talking about right now. And I love how God brought clarity to me of exactly what you're saying, that he showed me, Jessica, I was with you when you left. Right. I was with you when you were there. I'm with you when you came back. And I'm with those people too. And then he gave me the opportunity to see how he was working in other places, mm-hmm. you know? And since then, I just absolutely love travel because I love to be in a place where it is a different language and culture and setting, but yet it's the same God.
Right. Right.
And the way I see it the most is in his creation, mm-hmm. because it doesn't matter what language or culture you're in, but you look at the human being and it reflects his image.
Yeah.
The desires of the heart, the way that mankind has been formed, it reflects the image of God in so many ways. It doesn't. Also, obviously, just the beauty of creation, just seeing God's creativity and mm-hmm. the way he makes all things work together. And it does not matter what corner of the globe you're in. He has formed it and he's made it. So I'm right there with you. It's such an amazing thing to reflect on about his character and who mm-hmm. he is.
Nice. I love that part of your story. I think it's something that we do resonate together about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I will say, you know, you have to kind of go back into a couple of previous episodes where I tell some of my own personal story mm-hmm. of where I've been and what I've done. So if you're listening, you haven't heard those things, feel free to find the special edition episodes that I've done on here just for you guys to hear a little bit more about my story. But I do think that this is one of those things that is a big part of who I am. And I'm so glad that you brought this up.
Good.
So I would love to hear from you just, you know, if kind of, I normally ask people to give a tip for someone that might be struggling right now. Mm-hmm. But for you, I actually, because you are, your ministry role is very much in relationships, right?
That's true.
It's very much about people being in relationship. So I'd like to ask for you to give us two tips.
Okay.
First, will you give us some insight or a tip about relationship with God?
Okay.
And then the second is, will you give some advice to somebody who might be struggling?
Just like a friend that you have to invest in. And you spend time with that person and you think about, well, how do I get to know somebody? Well, you do things with them. You invest time with them. You talk with them. So how do we do that as Christians? Well, we pray. We read God's word. We spend time with other Christians and seeing like how they do life. And so it's a very relational thing, how we maintain our faith with the God and connection with him. And sometimes we feel it. We talked about it a little bit earlier. Sometimes we don't always feel it.
Mm.
Sometimes it's just something that we, know that it's there because we've experienced it before and we take a moment to remember that God's there.
It's that way in other relationships, you know, in marriage, sometimes it's like, I'm not really feeling this deep connection with you right now, but I know that I have not spent any real focused, dedicated time with my husband in a few days. Yeah. And so even though I'm not feeling it and I feel distracted and I feel like I have these other things that I should be doing, I'm going to make a point to make sure we sit down and have dinner together. I'm going to make a point to ask him about his day and to listen, you know, and then after I do that, then I feel connected to him, you know, and the, some of those feelings come back. So I think it's what you're saying is that that's, we can't reduce the relationship with God to just some sort of transactional thing with God. It is a living, vibrant relationship, just like our other relationships in life.
Yeah. And I think you described it really well in that, we just try to do the right things and then the relationship follows, the emotions will follow. And it's a normal, when you think about our relationships, even with our spouses or even our kids or our best friends, sometimes we feel closer to them and other times we feel more distant or we feel more friction or conflict. And that's a normal kind of experience in life. And just because you have a little bit of friction, like say in your marriage, and I do a lot of marriage counseling in the counseling center. Mm-hmm. That's one of my biggest passions that brought me in even into ministry. And so one of the things that we have to remember is that it's normal to have some of these differences. God created all of us so uniquely, going back to Psalm 139. Mm-hmm. So there's so many differences. Why would we ever expect our partner to think like us or be like us or respond to a situation like us? Because God gave them their own personality and their own outlook, and they have a different perspective, perhaps, on things. And so we have to recognize that it's normal to have sometimes closeness and distance and relationship kind of ebbs and flows a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so that same thing can happen with the Lord. And when we do feel a little bit more distant from Him because of circumstances in life, or maybe it could just be because we're really tired and exhausted, or mm-hmm. it could be because we've done something that we're ashamed of, or that hurts somebody else, or we're feeling hurt because of our relationships that are more like horizontal with other people.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that God is still not fully present there with us, and He's not fully available to us, and that we're still fully loved by Him. I don't have to depend on my performance,
right,
or the things that I'm doing to feel close to Him. I can just remember God's love for me. Mm-hmm. I can remember those experiences, mm-hmm. like on the bed praying with my mother, or being baptized, or praying with Him when I'm overseas.
Right.
Just like anybody listening, they have those kind of same types of experiences if they've had an experience with the Lord.
Right.
That they can rely upon.
And if they haven't had those experiences, they can trust that He is there. And right. just like you're saying, He doesn't change, and His love for you is unconditional. Mm-hmm. And so you have an open invitation to come to Him.
Right.
And I actually think, I know I gave you two prompts or two questions, but I think you answered both of them yeah. in that one. I mean,
okay.
I think for anyone who's struggling, right, struggling to believe or struggling in their faith right now, I mean, everything you just shared is pointing us in that direction of just understanding that our relationship with God and how we are in relationship with God ebbs and flows. And it is something where He doesn't change. He is always there. His love is unconditional for you. Yeah. And so if you're struggling to believe right now, don't think that He's rejecting you because of the fact that you're struggling.
Right.
His arms are open towards you, and He is not afraid of your struggle. I love hearing your story, your background, the way that God cultivated a personal relationship with you, and from your early faith into your own personal faith journey with Him, and then on into the way that He showed Himself to be present yeah. and powerful in your life over all of the years, through all of the experiences, regardless of what country you were in or what you were doing or ended up going into ministry and yeah. all sorts of things, that He has shown Himself to be faithful and present with you at all times. And this is all indicative of His unending love for us and His unconditional love for us, and the fact that His presence is available to us without condition. We can't earn it. It's not about our performance.
Right.
And at the end of the day, He is inviting us to come to Him, and He created us so that we could be together. So thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. And I hope that it is of encouragement. I'm sure it will be of encouragement to our listeners. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Jessica.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited, because new episodes release every week.